This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, where every Saturday we are here and we're doing life together. And so we're so glad that you've joined us. You can contact me at Facebook, on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, or go to my website, Dr. Linda Mental. And hey, I've just become on Instagram. I'm starting to rev that up. So if you want to Instagram Dr. Linda Mental, you'll find me there too. And just a reminder that I always post a blog on the topic of the show on the My Faith Radio page as well. My co-host Chris Weigel is off again this week. Who knows what Chris is doing? He's always doing something fun and interesting. But I have a very special guest, and I'm real excited for you to meet him because he's probably not a household name, but you're going to know who he is when we start talking about what he's done. So welcome, Butch Hartman.
Thanks very much, Dr. Linda Mental.
Yes, it's great to have you here. So all of that.
You know what? I'm going to actually use you to power a small city. You have so much energy. I need some of your energy. I thought I had a lot of energy.
You have a lot of energy.
I just am beginning to know you. We should fight crime together.
Yeah.
A superhero team.
I love it. I always wanted to be Wonder Woman, so I don't know what...
I think you are Wonder Woman.
You think
Woman.
So?
God thinks
I'm Wonder Woman,
well,
right?
Hey,
there
amen.
You go.
Absolutely.
So listen, my daughter knew exactly who you were.
Now listen, I didn't do anything with your daughter.
No, but
I have not come near your daughter.
This is why she knew. So I told her, I said, remember that crazy cartoon you used to watch, Fairly Odd Parents? And she was like, oh my gosh, Mom, I so remember it. I said, what is your memory of that show? Because in case you haven't figured it out, Butch Hartman is the one who created that show. And so she said, it's any kid's dream to have little imaginative godparents who will grant them any wish that they want. So she loved that idea. And then she started singing the Icky Vicky song.
That's right.
So I didn't even know what she was talking about when she did that. But she said, oh, yeah, Icky Vicky was this horrible babysitter who would do terrible things when the parents would go away.
Yeah, well, Vicky was the lead kid in the show, Timmy Turner, has these two fairies, Cosmo and Wanda. And they're really cool and they're fun. And whenever the adults or a babysitter comes around, they turn into little fish in a fishbowl in his room. But the babysitter, Vicky, does not know they exist. So when the parents are around, she's sweet and nice. And the parents leave and she pulls out a chainsaw and duct tapes Timmy to the bed so she can go watch TV kind of thing.
So my daughter wanted you to know that her best friend's name was Victoria, and she had to live that down for all of her childhood.
I really want to
because
apologize.
Of your character.
I should apologize.
Can you make
to
it
all,
apologize?
All the Vickies out there, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And the Icky Vicky song, I actually wrote that song. Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah. Hey, Vicky, you're so icky. Just the thought of being around you makes us oh so sicky.
She sang it last night. Yo, she knew every lyric. She knew the Dexter Laboratory cartoon that you did.
Yep.
She was
I didn't do that. I worked on that.
You did? Okay.
I worked on that, yeah.
And Danny Phantom, and you created that one. So you are Michigander, too. So we have like a bond because we're
Midwest.
Both Michiganders by our background. But you went to Cal Arts to study animation, which has a lot to do with what the cartoons are all about.
That's right.
And you've worked for Marvel Productions. You've worked for Ruby Spears Productions, Hanna-Barbera, Nickelodeon. You're right now one of the bigwigs. I think you run Nickelodeon.
I don't know if I run it, but I sometimes feel like I do enough work to. No, you know what? They've been great to me. I've had such a great time at Nickelodeon. I've worked there for... gosh, almost 17 years now. And to imagine that amount of time that's gone by. But, you know, that's how awesome God has been. I've been able to do what I love every day for a living. I always tell people, if you love what you do, it's not work. So I really haven't even worked at all in 30 years in the industry. I love what I do.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into this. Because how does somebody say, oh, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to do cartoons?
I think you have no game plan, basically, at all. You have no game plan. You know what it was? I was a little kid. I drew cartoons. I was in kindergarten one day, and my teacher asked us to draw a picture of her. So I drew a picture of my teacher, and my teacher just started raving about it. I didn't even know what the big deal was. I'm 6 years old. And so she loved my picture, put it up on the wall, kept raving about it. All the other kids were humiliated. I realized that I could get attention from adults by drawing cartoons. That's the first thing that entered my mind. So I thought, okay, this is cool. So I started drawing all the time. And I was just a little kid, but that encouraged me to keep drawing. So I learned how to draw a lot more. I really fell in love with Walt Disney and all those cartoons. Mm. I loved all the Saturday morning cartoons on TV, Hanna-Barbera. I loved the Flintstones. I loved Bugs Bunny, the Warner Brothers stuff. And eventually, as I got older, I realized I want to make a career out of this. And my dad actually built me an animation table when I was like 15 years old.
He did?
Yeah, I designed it. He was a carpenter. My dad, great guy, but he built me this animation table. I went to CalArts at 18. And sort of the rest is kind of history. I'm glad I was youthful because I wasn't very bright. So I didn't, had I
there's,
seen...
There's hope for all of you listening.
Exactly. No, what I mean is, though, had I seen the mountain ahead of me, I probably would have been a little more scared about it. But I didn't have Christ in my life back then. Mm. So I was just going on my own steam, under my own power. And the exciting part was, as I would achieve something, I would give all the credit to myself, not realizing that there was a creator out there, or there was my Savior out there who was really the one pushing me forward. Because once I got saved and had Christ in my life, I saw how everything lined up perfectly. He was always watching out for me. It was just up to me to find Him.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to CalArts. I got into the animation industry, and I got my first job at Marvel Productions. I thought it'd be super exciting to work on Spider-Man and the Hulk, but they put me on My Little Pony. So that was the most horrible part.
Well, little girls all over the world would think that's the great job, right?
Exactly. Then I moved.
But you're not a little girl. So.
Well, you don't know that. We are not sure about that. And then I moved over to Ruby Spears Productions. They're the guys who created Scooby-Doo for Hanna-Barbera. They had their own studio. Then I went to Hanna-Barbera. Then I went to Nickelodeon, and I've been there since 1997.
So I really want to get into the inspiration for those characters, because those odd parent characters are odd.
They are odd.
I would watch that, and I go, oh, wow, weird. Okay, that's a little weird, but my kids thought it was just hysterical.
I first drew the cartoon because I was losing another job. I was working on the Johnny Bravo show on Cartoon Network, and that show was ending. I worked on it with a guy named Seth MacFarlane. Anyone ever heard of him? He and I were really good friends at the time. We both got fired from the show because the show was over, and I wanted to come up with my own show, so I decided to come up with this show about a little boy, because we always write what we know. So I drew a little boy named Timmy, because my youngest brother's name is Timmy, so I named him after my brother Tim. I was going to name him after my brother Mike, but he and I had a fight that day. So my brother Mike is regretting that fight. Anyway, but I came up with a little boy, and I wanted to give him some power, because as a little kid, I felt very powerless in a lot of my situations. So I thought giving this kid some power would be really cool. I'll give him a fairy godmother. That'd be kind of fun. So I drew Wanda. And then I'd never seen a fairy godfather before, so I drew this idiot fairy godfather named Cosmo, and I sort of had this little picture. It was really neat. I wanted to give him a villain to always be battling against, so I came up with Vicky the babysitter, the older girl who comes
in.
Right,
right.
And then kind of just started from there, and that's kind of where the inspiration came from, you know, wanting to just give a kid power.
Well, you've already given a lot of really important things. I mean, the power of a teacher in a person's life and what a teacher did to encourage you and encourage your art, the power of a father who can see that there's talent there and encourage that, even without knowing the Lord. I want you to stay tuned, because we're going to talk about where the transition comes and the shift and what happens when God becomes part of that picture. So stay with us. We're talking to Butch Hartman, and we're going to return in just a few moments. Back in a minute. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere. Or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Driving to work the last few days, I noticed the leaves are starting to change color. Even though afternoons still warm up to summer-like temperatures, the morning air has that crisp feel about it. Fall is coming. Whether it's summer to fall, fall to winter, winter to spring, or back to summer again, the change of seasons has an effect on us. Be aware of changes in your mood as a new season approaches. Without realizing it, a little depression can sneak in. Recognizing the onset of a gloomy mood can be one way of heading off the gray clouds before they become a storm. A little sadness at summer's passing is nothing to worry about, but if the gloom doesn't lift, seeing a counselor might be in order. The key, don't allow the darker days of fall or winter to keep you from enjoying your life every day. God's Word tells us, you created the night and the day. You set the sun and the moon in their places. You made summer and winter. The Lord, in all His wisdom, has ordained the seasons for us. So don't let a little change pull you down. And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today I have a special guest. It's Butch Hartman, who is the executive producer at Nickelodeon and probably somebody's work you have seen. If you've ever watched the cartoon Fairly Odd Parents, or there's a whole host of them on Nickelodeon that he's been involved with. We were talking about your fabulous career before the break, Butch, and it's been quite a run for you, and a great run, but it hasn't always been such an easy time for you, especially growing up. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, growing up was tricky. As a kid, I come from a very chaotic household. My parents were both, let's just put it this way, they were parents who had not been trained to be parents. Mm-hmm. And especially with Christ in my life, knowing that I have to forgive, I've had a lot of forgiveness toward my parents, and they're great people. They both passed away 2 years ago.
And
3 years ago, 2012.
Wow.
Both died of cancer. Oh. They were both chain smokers, and that was just a horrible habit they were both addicted to. But, you know, growing up, I was born when they were very young, and neither one of them had had good parental upbringings themselves.
So kind of a generational thing.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a lot of yelling in the house, a lot of fighting. There was divorce. My parents were divorced when I was 9. I have 3 younger brothers. We did not have a lot of money, so there was not a lot of stability at all in my house. And I kind of had to become the parent, because my father would have to go to work at 6 in the morning, and I'd have to kind of get my brothers up for school and get them all ready for school. I had to give them all cleaning assignments in the house, that kind of things. I didn't want a dirty house. I knew that I had to have a clean house, that kind of thing. And
it's good Michigan work ethic you and I have.
It was
growing up.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's freezing there, by the way.
Yes,
so
it is.
Yeah, it's freezing cold. But, you know, my dad did the best that he could. And growing up, I had a lot of anger, though, because I always thought, especially when I became a father myself, I have 2 daughters. When you have kids yourself, you look at other parents, you go, how could you ever do that to your own kids? Mm. Yet, I just want to stress, bringing Christ in my life was the best thing I could have ever done, because I was able to forgive and just unload a lot of that burden onto Him.
And I love what you said, because I really do believe that parents do the best that they know how to do with whatever they have.
They do.
Most parents, at least.
My father had a lot of rage. Mm-hmm. He had lost his father when he was 11. In fact, the day my father died, but the day before he died, he was talking to me. I was sitting across from the kitchen table from him, and he was just crying about his own father and about other things. Mm-hmm. And he was like confessing to me. It was really kind of amazing. And I was trying to get him saved at the dinner table right there. I think he was saved. I'm not sure. I know he was a Catholic man. I know he accepted Christ at a young age. I don't know if he ever lived for Christ, but that's not for me to decide.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, growing up, I would escape from the chaos in my house. I'd go into comic books, and I would watch TV endlessly, because it was like this little box that brought me to other places than where I lived.
Yeah.
That's why I got into cartooning. I didn't really know how to get out of my house, but once I saw there was a school in California that I could go to, and that was about as far in America as I could go away from my house, I said, I'm going to this school. Walt Disney founded it. That's where I'm going to go. And my dad encouraged me. He, like I told you, built me an animation table.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a blue-collar town.
Yeah.
Most blue-collar fathers would be like, you're going to draw cartoons for a living?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Get a real job. Yeah.
Get a real job. Yeah. Here's a wrench. Here's a screwdriver. Go build something.
Do something useful.
He never did that to me. And I really
did
owe him a lot.
Did he know that you were into this sort of creative
outlet? A superhero?
Outlet?
No one knows I'm a superhero. We're not supposed to talk about
that. Well, your
that.
Wife was telling me that she knows. But anyway.
Sorry.
But did he know that you had this creative side to you that you were using as an escape, that was some way that you were channeling sort of your energy in a good way?
I don't think he knew I was using it as an escape. I just think he just saw me drawing and thought it was neat and knew I was into it. So he definitely encouraged me to do that. We actually lived with my father. My parents got divorced. My mother was so unstable, we couldn't even live with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I very rarely saw my mom growing up. And in fact, to the day she passed away, she had a very unstable life.
So when did you come to the point where you said, I've got to change the way I think about them? And I've got to do something different with the way I've grown up with this.
It came fairly recently, within the last 6 or 7 years, because even when I had Christ in my life, I still had a lot of anger. Because I would talk to my dad on the phone, And he would just get angry and say things that would just, I don't want to talk to this guy.
Yeah, kind of trigger you. And
well, exactly. And you're trying to be nice, and you'd hang up the phone. And then I wouldn't talk to him for years. When I realized I had to start forgiving him was the latest time I hung up on him. And he had said something very insulting, not to me, but to someone that I love very much. I just said, okay, that's it. I am done. Hung the phone up and didn't talk for, I think it was 3 years.
Wow.
And finally, I'm driving to work one day, and I just knew the Lord spoke to me and said, you got to call your dad. And I thought, oh, jeez. And I kept going, I don't have to call my dad. No, I don't. Kept driving. And 3 or 4 times to work, and I kept remembering the Bible says, if you don't forgive your brother, I can't forgive you.
Yeah.
And I kept going,
yeah.
Oh, does this apply to me, though, God? Is this,
really?
Aren't I the exception?
Some exceptions in there. Yeah,
yeah, can I just get a waiver?
Yeah.
I'll sign a waiver.
Yeah. You know, some people would say, oh, he was just setting appropriate boundaries. But
yeah.
You're talking about, it isn't a boundary, it's a cutoff. So
yeah.
You're talking about you just didn't want to even deal
no,
with it.
No, I was done. I was done.
Yeah.
I am done.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yeah.
And you know what? Have a nice life.
So that's different than setting a boundary.
Yeah,
I just
want
to make that really clear for anybody who's listening, because
that's
an important distinction.
Absolutely. I was just done. And finally, it just wouldn't stop. It kept going over and over and over. You've got to call your dad. And I thought, oh, and this is pride, too. For men, it's very hard
yeah.
to deal with pride.
Yeah.
I had to put my pride aside, which men don't like to do. So I put the pride aside, and I said, I'm going to call him. I waited till I knew he was at work, wasn't at home, called the answering machine. Hey, Dad, this is Butch. We haven't talked in a few years. Your granddaughters are growing up. Just want to say hi.
It's been hard.
It was hard, yeah. I said, hey, but I want you, and this was the hardest part. I said, well, I just want you to know, I love you. I'll talk to you later. Give me a call if you want. Hung up the phone.
Wow.
A 20-second message. And I'm thinking, oh, he'll never call me back. He'll wait weeks, whatever. He called me back 2 minutes later.
Wow.
2 minutes later. You could tell there was relief, and he just wanted to talk, and so we just talked and didn't mention anything. Didn't mention the argument, and I'm so glad I did that because he passed away a couple years later. I would have let it go. I would have never called him, and I'm glad I did. So we touched base again. We got back in each other's lives. It was a little funky at first, but I'm just really glad we talked. And only through Christ I could have done that.
Did he recognize a difference in you? Did he say anything about you being different, or did he ever say anything about why you did that, why you reached out again to him?
No, he knew I got saved. He knew I was a Christian. Because when I would see him face to face, I would talk about God and talk about Christianity.
Yeah.
And it was very foreign to him. Not that he was resistant, because he was a Catholic guy, but he was raised Catholic, but never really...
on the personal side of what that means.
He never brought it into his heart, like where he lived a Catholic existence. I mean, he believed in God, and he believed in the afterlife and that kind of thing, but he never really took it upon himself to live that way. And so when I would talk to him about it, he would... You know, people get, when they don't want to hear about it, they go,
Okay, don't do that religious stuff with me.
Well, I thought all Christians were crazy, too, before I became one, so I thought, you get that look on your face. And so you're like, all right, I'll just drop the subject for now. His word will not return to him void. I will plant that seed. I know I planted it in his heart somehow. It's up to God to grow that seed.
Right.
It's not my job. And that's the best part. It's like I just put the seed in there, and it's up to God to grow that thing. So
that's huge. I mean, the forgiveness part. So I really want people to pay attention to that you did feel convicted about going after the relationship, because I get a lot of calls because I wrote a book on conflict. People asking me, do I really have to go after that relationship when that other person has been the one who's harmed me?
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Scripture doesn't give those distinctions. It doesn't say, well, if the person deserved it, go ahead and forgive them.
Yeah.
Or if they come to you first, go ahead and forgive
them.
Well,
Jesus wants you to forgive them because it's good for you to forgive them.
Right.
Because the other person, 99% of the time, has no idea they've even offended you.
Yeah,
and you live with this anger and rage for years, and it doesn't do you any good. Jesus even said, who among you by worry can add one cubit to your stature?
Right.
You know, it doesn't benefit you at all to have those feelings. And even though it feels good sometimes, boy, doesn't it feel good to, like, be mad at somebody? Because you have
something. Well, it feels empowering to a lot of people.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
And it's the one that you have over them. It's like, I'm mad at you. I'm not talking. That's the power. You can hold yourself back from them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's control.
But, yeah, I just am so glad I forgave him. And I forgave my mom, too, and that was an even harder one.
We just need to encourage people that if they're struggling with that and you're thinking, but my parents have done so many things, or somebody in my life and my family has done so many things, it's not about what they have done. It's how you respond to what they've done. And when you put your head down on that pillow at night and you see God one day, you're not going to be able to say, oh, God, did you know my parents? Okay, go ahead, pass. God's going to say, how did you respond?
Yeah,
were
amen.
You the one who forgave regardless of what was going on? So an important, important message.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Butch Hartman Fairly Odd Parents, many other cartoons you've seen and heard on Nickelodeon. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We'll be back in a moment. Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website at drlindamental.com and online.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we have the honor of having such a special guest in the studio. It's Butch Hartman. I didn't even say your name right. It's
Look,
Butch.
Let's read the copy correctly.
Okay.
It's Hartman.
Hartman. Okay.
Hartman.
You're the man with the heart.
That's exactly
right. You should
remember
right.
that. Yeah, yeah.
I need a mnemonic. HP, HM, H, I don't know, whatever it is. But.
I just can't believe I caught her making a mistake. That's astounding. I'm this woman, she's like amazing.
No, I'm very flawed.
No, I don't think
as
so.
As the people in the production suite can tell you, it's true. But, yeah, you're the executive producer at Nickelodeon, and you've had a lot of experience in what we would call the Hollywood world or in media. I'm just so curious, Butch, how have you dealt with the pressures in that world of wanting you to compromise? And have you felt that pull to compromise who you are?
I have felt the pull sometimes. It's interesting because since I work in a kid's business, everybody kind of knows they got to stay safe anyway, even the secular world. Like, oh, we can't do this. We can't have people going through windows. We can't show people smoking. They just can't do it. So they're already limited. But there are all those shows out there, like on certain network. They're adult shows. They'll talk about anything, really. And I've been approached, hey, Butch, you want to do a dirty show? You want to do this kind of show? And I'll just say, no, I just can't do those kind of shows. I mean, I actually watch some of those shows, and I do get a laugh out of them. There's some funny stuff on there. But that's just not for me. I know I got to be accountable, not only to the people of the earth now as I live for kids to watch my show, but I've got a creator I've got to be accountable to. And I want him to see that I've used the spark of divinity he gave me to create something that all people can enjoy. And people might think that sounds a little high and mighty, but I don't really want it to sound that way. I just like creating stuff that's fun that I used to like to watch when I was a kid. I really do. I want to be able to turn on something and just laugh and have a good time. I don't want to be preached to. I don't want to have to think about, what was that sexual position they talked about on that show? Who wants to have put that into a kid's mind?
Right.
I don't want to do that kind of thing.
Well, how important do you think it is for people to laugh? Just to laugh as Christians.
I think it is huge. And Mary Hart does good like a medicine. And no one understands this. And that's why I love to laugh all the time. I know when the Bible says that little kids came to Jesus, I know why, because he smiled. You know what I mean?
Maybe he told a few jokes.
Maybe he did. Hey, did you hear the
Jewish
one?
Joke.
Hey, did you hear the one about Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
Listen, you know, that kind of thing.
That wee little man.
Yeah, exactly. He's a little short guy. Yeah. Here's a short joke about Zacchaeus. Yeah. No, anyway. I know that he was full of joy. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Why should I let my heart be troubled?
Yeah.
I didn't say it. He said it. Are there things on the earth that try and trouble us? Absolutely. But if I can give somebody a cartoon to watch or a joke to laugh at, I love when kids quote the lines. My show's been on for so long, there's little kids that have watched it and grown up. So I have these 22, 23-year-olds.
Oh, that's my daughter.
Yeah,
she was quoting the lines.
She'll quote lines. I know that.
She was doing Johnny Bravo and all these different shows, and she was giving me line after
that's
line.
Right,
I'm like, wait a minute, did we let you watch TV too much?
Yeah, exactly.
You know all these lines.
Exactly. Well, don't discourage TV because it saved me. So let me tell you, back in the day, I love to make kids laugh because I love to laugh, too. Like, yeah. I love comedy. I watch The Office all the time. I watch Everybody Loves Raymond. Probably seen the show a million times. That's what I watch before I go to bed, reruns of comedy shows, just because I can get a laugh before I go to bed.
We know that in the physical sense, it really does help the body to laugh. That's what the good medicine part of that is.
It is, yeah.
I think it's good to be lighthearted at times. And sometimes we get so bogged down in Christianity that we think that somehow we can't do that.
It's also because there's so many serious situations that happen
in
life.
Yeah, we need encouragement.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that's the issue. If you can bring something redemptive to anything you do, any kind of hope, any kind of encouragement, any kind of a good outcome, people need that. My mom, before she died, she would always say, I'm so depressed. I'm listening to the news. And I'm like, turn it off.
Get
a comedy on. That's what I used to tell her. Go watch a fun comedy and lift your spirit a little bit.
I very rarely watch the news. I'll watch for just a couple minutes so I know what's going on.
Yeah.
So in case they're coming to my door with guns or something. Okay, they're on my street. I should know this.
Who are these people?
Yeah, but that's about it. Yeah, then I'll turn on something else that's funny, that's a scripted show, or I'll listen to music or watch a movie that I know on Netflix that is fun to watch or something like that.
Well, in the last seconds, because we literally have seconds here, what's the one piece of advice you'd give anybody who's trying to live the Christian life in a difficult time?
I would just say embrace it, because it's who you are. I think really embrace it, really own it, because why not? Why do you want to dance around and pretend you're a Christian when you know you are? And you're pretending you're not. Are you trying to impress your friends? Are you trying to impress your family? Just own it. And why not, when you get a chance, why don't you tell somebody about it?
Yeah.
Just take 2 seconds and tell somebody about it. Doing that is really going to free you up. It's going to make you feel great, too. See that guy who needs a dollar over there? Maybe go over there and give him a dollar. But before you give him the dollar, just tell him about who Jesus is for 2 seconds. You don't have to be a preacher on a stage with thousands of people at all. Jesus wasn't even doing that at first. He would just go up to people and talk to them.
Well, sage advice from a cartoonist.
How about
a little
that?
Bit more than that. Well, listen, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Butch Hartman, for coming and spending time with us. And many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Jamie Hall. And we just appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. And
is this where I get my check?
This is where you get the big honorarium for coming in here. So,
I'm joking.
Yeah, so for all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's always better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.